Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Thank you, Madison, so much. We just appreciate all the ways that you bless our lives and playing the piano, playing the guitar. This morning, I told the early service, I said, if you think that's something, you should see her hit a softball. So anyway, okay. Thank y'all for being here this morning. Father, glorify your name here in this house, Lord, in every heart here this morning. You be glorified. You be lifted up. Lord, we choose to proclaim you, confess you as Lord today, because we know that someday, and that day obviously is closer today than it's ever been before, that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord Jesus. But Lord, we don't do that out of obligation. We do that by choice this morning. We don't do it because you're forcing us down. We do it because we bow down freely, willingly to you. Lord, as your name is lifted up today, Jesus, will you draw all persons, everybody in this house, will they be drawn unto you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. Don't just read it on the screens. Let the word of God become alive and active in your life this very morning. This is Luke chapter 17. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Lord Jesus, this morning, we need you to show up in our village, to show up in this, your church, just like you showed up in the lives of those 10 lepers. Lord, we need you to come and speak to us. We need you to come and heal us. We need you to come and change us. And Lord, I pray that we will be those who don't just get touched or changed on the outside, but truly transformed on the inside. Lord, this morning, we don't want to just hear about you. We don't want to just hear Andy talk about you. Lord, we want you, O Holy Spirit, to come and speak directly to every single person here. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. All right, so Janie and I went to a wedding a couple of weeks ago in North Texas, and it was a beautiful Christ-centered wedding, great venue, and there was this really great dance afterward. Now, I just want to let y'all know, in case you're wondering, that Janie still got some moves out there. I just want we had a great time. Literally, by the time we finished dancing, I had, you know, had a suit shirt on, and I mean, I had to wring it out and take it off to drive to the hotel later that night. This morning, our passage, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at how God moves in his grace, okay? Grace movement number one is that Jesus comes close. Jesus is on his way from Galilee down to Jerusalem for the last time in his earthly life, and Jesus once again chooses a route, a path that takes him close to the towns and villages of Samaria. Just like Jesus chose to go to Samaria for his divine encounter with the woman at the well in Sychar, now Jesus chooses, once again, places himself in a position of potential transforming encounter with these 10 lepers. Jesus comes, y'all. Jesus comes close, not just to where they were 2,000 years ago, but this morning, Jesus comes close to where you are right here, this very moment. Truth be told, Jesus is always the initiator, the pursuer, the author, the originator when it comes to grace. I have loved all the grace stories that are being shared in and around St. Luke's during this month. And what we see again and again is that none of our stories start with us. My dad's deliverance from alcoholism didn't start the night that he got sober. My call to ministry when I was 17 years old didn't just start at Cedar Canyon at church camp. John Wesley's Aldersgate conversion didn't just happen on a May evening in 1738. Your choice and your decision to follow Jesus didn't just happen in that single moment when you finally said yes to Him. You see, we believe in this thing called prevenient grace. God's grace that goes before. It's the grace of God that is wooing us and pursuing us from the time of our conception until the time of our conversion. John 6:44, Jesus says this, No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him or draws her. And I will raise him or her up on that last day. What this means for you this morning is that whether you know it or not, whether you're willing to acknowledge it or not, whether you believe it or not, that right now, God the Father is seeking you, pursuing you. Jesus is knocking on the door. Jesus is working around your life and in your life. Jesus is near, waiting on you to draw near to Him. Do you remember when Jesus called his first disciples? It's a great story. I won't read the whole thing, but this is over in Luke chapter 7. And I'm sorry, Luke chapter 5. Jesus is preaching, and there's so many people he needs somewhere to preach. And so he gets in Simon Peter's boat and pushes off just a little bit from the shore. He preaches and teaches all day long. And then when he finishes, he says, Simon, take out your boat into the deep waters and catch some fish. Simon's going, this guy may know something about God's kingdom or preaching, but he doesn't know anything about fishing, right? We fished all night last night. But he's okay, Lord, whatever you say. And then Peter and Andrew and James and John, they get in their boats, and I don't know if they go off 50 yards, 75 yards, however far it is, but when they get out there, throw your nets in. Lord, there's no fish. Throw your nets in. So maybe just out of, I'll prove it, I'll show him. Peter throws the nets in. Well, Peter didn't know, there they were on that water. He didn't know that just a few feet away that lake was alive with fish. And when he threw the nets in, man, boy, those nets got so full, it almost sunk the boat. Peter swam to the shore. He fell at Jesus' feet. Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man, you know? And then that was the day when Peter and Andrew and James and John left their boats, left their families, left their careers, left everything they had, and they followed Jesus. And so it's interesting to me is that the fish were just right there. They didn't know it. They didn't see it. They had no clue about it. God's provision was just right there. Your life being changed forever, y'all, is just right in front of you right now. You may not know it yet. You may not acknowledge it yet. You may not believe it yet. But Lord, just a few feet from where you are, there is life. This morning, Jesus is close. Jesus is near. I pray for all of us, every single one of us this morning. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For God says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And I tell you, this is the Lord says, I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Y'all, now is the time for you to get right with God. Now is the time for you to let God set you free. Now is the time for you to truly give yourself to Him. Now is the time to start messing around or piddling around. Now is the time for you to start living your life totally for Him. Now is the day for you to get free. Now is the day for you to get forgiven. Now is the day for you to let His love become real in you. Grace movement number two. Grace movement number two is that the lepers stood up and they cried out. Somehow these outcast lepers who came from different religious backgrounds, who came from different racial backgrounds, who came from different family backgrounds, somehow these very different persons had now found commonality in their great suffering and isolation. The 10 are hanging out together. Somehow they had heard that Jesus was passing by, and they had waited and waited and watched until they saw Jesus coming in the distance. And then with hoarseness and raspiness and scratchy voices caused by their leprosy, they called out as loud as they could, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us! Jesus, Master, have mercy on us!" I don't know if they'd ever heard Jesus teach, the golden rule that we're to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. I don't know if they've ever heard Jesus teach the great commandment, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know if they've ever heard Jesus teach about the kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. But I just know that what these 10 lepers knew about Jesus, they pursued about Jesus. What they had heard about him, they sought to heed from him. With great faith, they took a great risk to experience Jesus' great mercy. Their cry is for mercy. The Greek word is eleison, and their cry for mercy is not for Jesus to give them what they deserve, but rather for Jesus to give them what they desperately need. Their cry is for Jesus to give them what he and he alone can give them. Their family couldn't fix them, right? The doctors couldn't fix them. The priests couldn't fix them, but they cried out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy." In Luke 18, Jesus tells this parable. He said, "To those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else," right? To those who had it all figured out and looked down on everybody else that didn't, Jesus told this parable. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself," right? "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, like robbers and evildoers and adulterers. Lord, that I'm not even like that poor tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, it was this man rather than the other who went home justified, made right before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I wonder how much I really need Jesus this morning. I mean, how much do you need his presence, his touch, his forgiveness, his deliverance, his healing this morning? Those 10 lepers took a great risk because they had a great need. Honestly, one of the reasons we don't stand up and cry out for Jesus is because we pretty much don't have any great need. We pretty much seemingly think that we can take care of ourselves. But this morning, if you like the tax collector, if you like the 10 lepers, if you have great need, then Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Grace movement number 3 is that Jesus comes closer. In verse 14, take note that it says, not that when Jesus heard them, but when Jesus saw them. The Greek word for see here is horao, and it means not just the act of physically seeing them, but it means to truly look upon them, to truly experience them, to perceive them. This is no casual looking for Jesus. This is no just, "Oh yeah, I see him over there." This is a foundational knowing of their profound needs and hurts and brokenness. He saw them. This morning, I truly and fully believe that Jesus is hara'oing you. He is seeing you. He is looking upon you. He is perceiving and knowing you and what's really, really going on inside of you. You don't have to hide from him. And you don't have to run from him. And you don't have to pretend for him. Because right now, right here in this very moment, he now truly knows you. And he fully loves you. Grace movement number four is that the lepers head out. The lepers head out to the priest, just like Jesus told them. And as they went, right, their leprous skin falls away. Their bones and joints straighten up. Their wounds heal up. Their pain goes away. Their strength returns. Their hoarse voice clears. Verse 14 simply says that as they went, they were cleansed. My hunch is that for most of us, maybe almost all of us here this morning, we too have experienced somehow in some way the amazing grace of God. We have felt and known his love. We have tasted his forgiveness, his salvation. We have experienced his provision and his healing, his deliverance. So the important and crucial question facing all of us is, what have we done? What are we doing with what Jesus has done in us and for us? Have we taken his gifts, taken his love for granted? Have we forgotten how much he has done for us? Have we gotten so used to all that he has done and that he's doing in our lives that we have begun to normalize and thus nominalize his grace? Have we turned the focus more on what we are doing or what we have done instead of rather on what he has done? You see, I can't ever forget. I can't ever stop being thankful for bringing his forgiveness and his healing and his resurrection to our marriage that was dead and gone over 30 years ago. I can't ever forget. I can't ever stop being thankful for God meeting me as a 10-year-old boy when I was all alone and afraid, wondering if anybody loved me. I can't ever forget. I can't ever stop being thankful for the eternal life that Jesus gave my 44-year-old friend Jay Leeson when Jay died just a few days ago. I can't forget. I can't stop being thankful. For far too many of us, we have been given all these incredible gifts from God over and over and over again, all these gifts. Sometimes we pat ourselves on the back. Sometimes we say, oh, isn't that so cool? But when we receive his gifts, his grace, his love, we go right back to living our lives for ourselves. You know, I don't owe Jesus a mere tip of the hat. I don't owe Jesus a mere saying of the words, thank you. I owe Jesus my everything. Because truth be told, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be alive without Jesus. This morning, right here in Lubbock, Texas, right here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, there are way over 200,000 people who've been given and given and given to, who chose this morning not to come and give him thanks, who chose this morning to not come and worship him. You see, what's real clear in this passage is that Jesus is not just looking to cleanse us on the outside. He desires to transform us on the inside. Grace movement number five, final grace movement, is that the grateful leper comes back. He comes back. Go back to our passage, verses 15 through 19. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, when, you know, it was obvious, right? The skin's changing, the joints are changing, the pus is going away, the skin is getting clean, the hunched over is straightened. I mean, it's obvious. When he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God. Y'all know the word doxology. We sing it in the traditional service. He was doxologizing. That's probably not a word. He was just praising God. I mean, he was giving God the glory, right? In a loud voice. Now, what's cool here is that we had one word for them speaking loud before, but loud voice here is it's a megalos plelos, which is megaphone. Megaphone. This is a loud voice. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Right? He came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks. When's the last time you did that? Literally, on your face. Before the Almighty God. And here's this line. And he was a Samaritan. He was Hamas. He was Hezbollah. He was the enemy. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this person of another race, this person of another nation, this outsider, this reject? Is he the only one? And then Jesus says to him, to the outcast, to the enemy, rise and go. Your faith has made you sozo, whole. Sozo, delivered out of danger into safety. Your faith has made you complete. All 10 lepers were cleansed in their bodies, but because of this one man's gratitude, he is delivered from danger, he is set free, he is saved, he is made whole in the core of his being. Gratitude leads to salvation because gratitude involves relationship. Those other 9 guys, who knows where they went? Who knows what they did? But this one, he came back and he connected. He encountered Jesus. That's what gratitude is all about. It's about our connection, our surrender, and our love for Jesus. When I say thank you, I'm actually saying to you, right, Leo, thank you for praying for us this morning. Thank you for, thinking about coming over and working with us as we paint the house. Thank you. What I'm saying is, I need you. What I'm saying is, I love you. What I'm saying is, you matter. See, when we say thank you to Jesus, we're saying to him, I love you. I need you. I can't do this thing called life without you. In this week, as we're praying about how God wants us to give to him at St. Luke's in the upcoming year, I just want to give you this foundational principle. The foundational principle, I think, straight out of this text, is gratitude is both the prerequisite and the conduit of generosity. Gratitude is both the prerequisite and the conduit of generosity. The more grateful I am, the more giving I am. When I have a giving problem, it's usually because I have a gratitude problem. I love the story that Luke tells about the night that Jesus had dinner at a Pharisee's house. This is over in Luke chapter 7. So Jesus goes, he's eating with the Pharisees, and then this woman comes in, right? And this woman who had a sinful life, everybody knew about her in the town. She learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, and then she kissed them and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisee and all the other Pharisees saw this going on, they go, man, if this man were really a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman that is, right? That she's a sinner. And then Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. 2 men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed 500 denarii, the other owed 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. He canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love the man more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. Yes, Jesus said, Because when you're forgiven much, you love much. When you're forgiven little, you love little. Then he turned toward the woman and said, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't put oil on my head, but she has poured this alabaster perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. Because she has been forgiven much." Y'all, gratitude comes when God comes. You see, gratitude comes when His love is experienced in our lives. Y'all remember back in Asbury, that's what happened in February. God's love broke out there for Gen X, and there was this tangible outpouring of God's love in that place. And y'all, the only appropriate and reasonable response to an outpouring of God's love is our outpouring of praise and gratitude to Him. That's what happened there for however many days that was. Nonstop, 24/7, praise and worship of the living God. If A, then B. If A, God's love is poured out into your life, then B, you can't help but love Him and worship Him. If A, God does some great thing in your relationships or brings some great healing to a family member, then B, you can't help but raise your hands and raise your heart to Him in gratitude. If A, God pours out His love on this house, on this people, in this day, then B, we can't help but pour out our love and our gratitude and our praise to Him. Oh, Jesus, this morning, bring your love and your grace. God, bring the power of your Holy Spirit here. And then, Lord, let B happen. Let the raising of our voices and our hearts and our lives be unto you. Lord, do what you desire to do. Let A, the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, be here. So B, this congregation will again and again never ever stop giving our praise to you. Let A happen. Let our loved ones be set free. Let our loved ones come to faith in you. Lord, let this church be a witness for you. Then B, Lord, we will never cease to be defined and determined by our praise unto you. That will be the center of who we are. Y'all, this morning as we sing our closing song, the altars are open. We're going to be singing, right? The music's going to be playing. But let Jesus, as surely as He cleansed and made whole the leper long ago, let Him cleanse and make you whole this morning. If there's anything you need prayer for, if there's healing that you need prayer for, if there's a marriage, if there's a friend, if there's a loved one that needs prayer this morning, I'm going to be here. Other prayer folks will just come and help pray too. But may we be the ones who fall at the feet of Jesus. May we be the ones who give our praise, our doxology to the one who loves us. He and He alone is worthy of our praise. Y'all, today as we go home, we're going to pray a prayer that I know Jesus answers, because He answered the leper's prayer, and it's going to be our prayer, not just in this moment, but all moments going forth. And so I'm just going to pray this prayer over us. I'm going to say it three times. Feel free to join in there if you want to. But it is a prayer that I know Jesus answers. And the prayer is this. I'll say it once, and we'll say it together. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, y'all, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Say it again. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. God, I pray that your mercy would abound to us. Lord, in this season of this world, in this season of human history, Lord, it's your mercy that is needed. Lord, I pray we won't just be recipients of mercy, but we will be those who offer mercy to each other. Lord, let us forgive. Let us set set free those who have wronged us or harmed us. God, let us just let go of any bitterness that stands between us and others or us and you. Lord, have mercy on us. In your name, Jesus, we pray and we go. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.